RPG Lessons Learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned. So hi, I'm Dusty, and I'm here with my good friend Brian.
Hey Dusty, how are you doing?
I can't complain. We're enjoying this fine Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's we're enjoying it so much, it's actually Saturday afternoon at this point.
Oh, my bad. So we're here to talk about RPGs. There are a lot of shows out there. I listen to quite a few podcasts and enjoy them all. Quite a few actual plays, quite a few podcasts that take emails and questions. And I wanted to do something a little different in this saturated market. And I thought we would actually recap our own games, Brian. Brian and I have been playing D&D together since about 2010.
Oh my gosh, has it been that long?
It has been that long.
It's not going to be long until it's been 10 years.
I know.
And so, I feel like a neophyte still when it comes to this.
So me too. And I was putting together, compiling a list of all of our games to be possible show topics. And just last night, actually, to make sure we had enough content to sustain a show over weeks and months. And we have played a lot more than I thought. An awful lot more than I thought. So Brian and I are both business professionals.
Yes, yes, we are.
And I thought it'd be fun to bring some business professional kind of corporate world analysis into this RPG podcasting genre. So we're going to go over lessons learned, sort of best practices as we've uncovered them in the RPG space, mostly focusing on D&D, but with a little branching out here and there. And Brian, today, I would actually like to talk about our very first game. So what I remember about our first game was that I had never done this before. I had listened to those Penny Arcade podcasts where Chris Perkins was the DM, and it was the first time I'd ever really heard a good game of D&D. I had been exposed to D&D in college. I had stepped into quite a few games. I had a friend who was a DM. I'd come in and be an NPC every so often, but I never really wrapped my mind around it until I heard those Penny Arcade podcasts, and I wanted to really try my hand at it.
At this point, I really only knew about like the stereotypes and like the jokes about people that played D&D, and I went in kind of skeptical, to be completely honest.
No, yeah, that's fair. I think we both knew about the cartoon, right?
Yeah, well, I watched the cartoon. You loved the cartoon, though.
So the cartoon was not my favorite.
I thought it was.
I love it now, but when I was a kid, something about it put me off. I think it's a cartoon that you have to be a little older to appreciate. But anyway, I'm with you. My first exposure to D&D ever was a kid, and I won't say his name, obviously, that I went to middle and high school with, and he always had those Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Oh, yeah, Find Your Fate Junior.
Yeah, and I thought that's what D&D was, because he had ones for AD&D. He had AD&D Choose Your Own Adventure, and he was he was the kind of person I did not want to emulate. But then I met Martin. Brian and I have a friend at work named Martin, and Martin gave me my first set of RPG books. When I told him that, hey, I'm listening to these podcasts, I'm interested in this thing, he actually gave me, and I'm gonna fracture the audience here, the fourth edition three core rule books.
That's what we started on.
Yeah, fourth edition, and I loved it. I did.
Me too. I really did.
I still do. It's fun to beat up on it. I'm glad I've moved on. But to be our first experience, it was quite good. But all I had for that first game, all I had were the three core rule books. That was it. No adventure modules. I mean, there was technically an adventure in the back of the DM's guide, but I hadn't really read the DMG that far. And I knew I wanted to play. Work was crazy at that time, so I couldn't put in the time to read all three books cover to cover. And finally, I don't know what got up the nerve. Probably an offhand comment that Chris Perkins made on his podcast of, you've got to just do it. And I decided to just do it. So I generated three characters for you, Chris, and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian, Chris, and Mike came over. And I handed them these three character sheets. I was so new and had no idea what I was doing. I actually built a charisma-based ranger. Remember that?
Yes.
So that came straight from video games. And in every BioWare game, you know, charisma is awfully important. You have these key negotiations with NPCs. You can't treat charisma as a dump stat. So I thought, well, I've got to have someone. You know, the party's got to have a member with high charisma for these negotiations. And I made it the ranger. Our ranger had an 18 charisma.
Was I playing the ranger?
No. The ranger was Mike. You were the fighter.
So I just remember now, in any game I play, video games specifically, when charisma is an attribute, I max out charisma.
Really?
Like in my Fallout character, he is the most charismatic dude you've ever met.
Well, that's exactly where I was coming from.
Yeah.
building these characters. It's so important in video games. So I thought it was super important in D&D. Anyway, made characters. They were completely unoptimized. I had no adventure, really. I pulled together a few monsters and a few concepts, and I'll get into that. I'll recap the game before we completely analyze it. But a few monsters, a few thoughts, the visuals. So, Brian, I don't know if you remember this. I bought some poster board, and with a yardstick and a ballpoint pen, I made the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And then with some Sharpies, I made the interior of a tavern, the exterior of a town square, and then the back of the tavern, like the loading dock area with a corral and a guardhouse and a few other things. All of it just simple black on white, Sharpie on poster board maps. So really simple stuff, really cheap stuff. Our minis were those nice paper clips.
Yes.
So I used the black part of the paper clip as the base.
The binder clip.
The binder clip, thank you. I used the black part of the binder clip as the base. I pulled off the silver parts with some pliers, and I had just hand-drawn with a fine-tip Sharpie all the bad guys and the heroes.
I have some binder clips laying here, actually.
Yeah, cheap stuff, cheaply put together, no idea what I was doing. Couple of monsters picked out that seemed an appropriate level, and it turns out that I accidentally did an awful lot correctly. An awful lot was dead on. Before the game, the only piece of advice that I got was from our friend Martin. And he told me a story about one of his games where he lovingly crafted this dungeon. And he opened up with his players outside of it. And they were like, nope. And they went completely opposite direction. And he was like, well, and he said, and when that happens, you have to enable that. You have to let them do what they're going to do. So going in, that's why I instinctively just didn't over-prepare. I had a couple of rough ideas. And I thought, well, wherever they go, you know, whatever they do, wherever they go, leave town, in town, whatever, don't care. Here are the monsters they're going to encounter. However, I have to wedge that in there. So I accidentally did that right. Actually inserted a puzzle lifted directly out of, I don't know if you ever knew this, Brian, the Fifth Element.
I've never watched it.
Okay. So remember the kobolds coming out of the well, and there were the four pillars?
Mm-hmm.
And the four pillars had these runes that were the elements?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. So,
gosh, I do remember that.
Yeah. So you guys had to light a fire on the fire column. You had to splash water on the water column. You had to blow. It lifted directly out of the movie The Fifth Element. And that was the puzzle. It seemed really important to me. You know, your character sheet had this whole section devoted to equipment that you guys use, the equipment. But again, emphasizing, I had no idea what I was doing. I pulled this together. I had some stats for the players. Poorly thought out. I had some stats for the monsters yanked out of, you know, the monster manual. I had a rough idea of a puzzle. I had a rough idea of some NPC interactions, and damn, that game was fun.
It was. Part of it, at the time, I think I enjoyed more just the camaraderie of being together. And it never really occurred to me that, until years later, that it wasn't just the fact that I was there with, you know, such great friends. I just really enjoyed the RPing element. I really enjoy the strategy element. Like, I'm always prone to like fiddling and splitting my attention, but other than on a couple of occasions when I really couldn't help it, I've never missed a game that we've done.
No, that's true.
Like I genuinely love gaming. It's one of my favorite things.
And honestly, that first experience where I jumped off that cliff, had no idea what I was doing and just tried it. If that hadn't gone well, I don't think we would have played for the last 7 years.
I know, right?
So it's funny. It all hinges on this game that was so poorly thought out. Some things that went right. The reason why it's okay to not know what the hell you're doing. When you guys burst into the tavern, so the setup for the game was you guys were outside a tavern and screams were inside, and I tried to introduce this element of you got to hurry up, you know, right from the start of the game. And sure enough, you guys, you know, burst into the tavern and saw people bursting out the back of the tavern, and everyone's up in arms, and I had this scene where the townspeople in the tavern were going to assume that you were with whoever burst out the back and were going to try to fight you. And I thought that'd be a bit of a puzzle. I thought you guys would come in, here are some aggressive townspeople, and you would go at it. But you guys immediately recognized, oh, they're confused, and threw some, hey, back to charisma, threw some charisma down, had a talk, assured them that you were not with whomever burst out the back, and avoided that first fight. And that, for me, was out of left field. I was fully expecting a bit of a brief scuffle.
I think especially back then, we really leaned heavily on Mike in the situations where, because Mike had played way more RPGs than than I had, at least. I'd never played WoW, had no idea about a lot of these concepts. A lot of the things in playing other RPGs were really transparent to me, because in most video games, oftentimes you don't have to worry about the stats. So I've honestly, thinking back, that was probably a call from Mike.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And I'll tell you this too. Mike was testing my limits. So me being the dungeon master, Mike was absolutely testing out, you know, this is not a video game. Let me throw everything that I can't do in a video game at Dusty and see what he does. In fact, I think you'll remember the quote of the game. The quote of that game was Mike looking at me and saying, "Can I shoot the horse?" So we had the bandits. So that when they burst out of the back of the bar, they avoided the tavern fight. When they came out of the back of the tavern, they saw the bandits making away on a horse-drawn cart. And Mike was playing the ranger, and he wanted to do a called shot into the horse's flank, which I did not see coming at all. I had the monster's ACs. I was gonna give Mike disadvantage because they're on this moving target. And then boom, Mike's like, "Well, the horse is a lot bigger than the person, and the horse will stop the cart. I want to shoot the horse." and no amount of prep, no amount of reading the rules would have prepared me for that. So it's okay, again, reemphasizing, to not know what you're doing. I think it's better, actually. This was one of the better games. When I compiled that list I was talking about earlier, I realized that this was actually not only our first game, it was my favorite game that we played for a long time. It took me a long time to get back to being as good as I thought this first game went, because I had no idea what I was doing, and I had to improvise and let you guys do what you were going to do, and that's what made this first game fun.
Yeah, to the point that Mike was trying to do a lot of things that you can't do in video games. What I've really found that I've liked about D&D is trying to, in a way, and this will sound terrible, try to attack those gaps in the strategy where you've set something up. Yeah. Not going too deep into it, but there's an example of when we had to encounter a horde of villains at basically at the entrance of a cave, and we got the villains to side with us briefly, and got the villains to go back into the cave, and we had them all together, and we just slaughtered them.
Yeah.
Instead of having just one gigantic battle that would have taken forever, we really, sped that up. I really liked having to sort of think through, if I was actually, really a general, how would I approach a battle? And that's something that it's helped me think differently about problems that I approach. And I've really appreciated that. I did enjoy this game. I can't say it's one of my favorites. Funny enough, one of my favorites we played in the last few years, last two or three years, which we'll talk about later, but it took place on a steamer ship.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely have a spot for that.
And that's on GitHub, right?
Yes. I have it written up in Markdown. I actually plan to run that at MACE, at the Mid-Atlantic Convention Expo, here in November.
Yeah, so that's a great game. I can't wait to see that. I'll be at MACE as well. I really enjoy playing, and it's just something that I had this stigma against people who played D&D. I just thought that they were, what the world thinks of them, is kind of losers. And, am I a loser? Absolutely not. There's no way I'm a loser.
No, neither of us.
And now, we play this on, we don't have a weekly game, but we have a bi-weekly game, which is the most frequent that it's ever been.
It is. And it's only gotten more frequent since we started. And the whole reason we're doing the show is it breaks my heart to think about people who want to play, who watch, Critical Role, or listen to, one of the other podcasts of actual plays, and who, D&D has never been more accessible in terms of understanding what it is.
Yeah. You can play for nothing. Literally nothing.
Oh, yeah. It's free.
5e is available for free.
Yeah.
Elements of it.
Elements, yeah. And we'll get into that later, but it's never been more accessible. There are other games that I love that are completely free. Never been more accessible. Never been more accessible to understand what it is. There were the dark days in the 70s, 80s, 90s where you had to actually, read the book. There were no recordings available. You couldn't watch people play. You had to 100% get it from the books. But having said that, there's still this shortage of people who are willing to stand up and say, "Yeah, I'll run that game." I mean, you listen to Chris Perkins or you watch Matt Mercer run their games on the D&D podcasts or on Critical Role, and you're like, "My God, I could never I could never do that. I don't understand these rules. You know, Chris Birkin says something like, "Oh yeah, absolutely, you can do that. You have advantage. Make a perception check. You know, go. It's a DC 21." And the first time you hear that, you're like, "How the hell does he know that?" And it makes you really intimidated to start. And we're here to tell you today's episode: just start. None of us knew what we were doing in our first game. What was, to your point, Brian, not my favorite game ever, but it was my favorite game for a long time.
Yeah.
It took us a while to get back there.
One barrier to entry that a lot of people have is having other people to play. Now in 2017, there's something called the internet.
Yeah.
And we actually played a game recently in the last year or so with a friend of ours named Don over Skype. And guess what? It worked really well.
It went beautifully. He didn't even have dice. To show you how free it was, he downloaded a dice app for free on his phone. And we played over Skype, very, very easy, no fuss, no muss, no problem.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, but you still have to have a DM. You still have to have someone who's willing to say, "I don't understand this. I don't know how to set a DC. I don't know what DC stands for. I don't know how to choose the difficulty for this dice roll. I don't know what the dice mean, but I want to run a game. And I'm here to tell you, it's not a hurdle."
It's, I mean, honestly, it's one of those things. It sounds like what you're describing with Chris Perkins is, if he doesn't know something specifically, he may not be grabbing a book to do it. It sounds like he just has played enough where he has a gut feeling of what that should be.
Yeah, and he has a rough framework of the rules. And if you have that, if you have just a rough framework, hey, the core mechanic is you roll a d20 and you compare it to a target. You add some bonuses, you subtract some penalties. And if you beat the number, hey, you did it. If not, hey, you didn't do it. All D&D is, all RPGs are, is introducing that dice element to an improvisational, thank you, storytelling game. We're trying to tell a story. How do you keep that one jerk at the table from railroading the story and saying that his character does everything? Well, hey, jerk, before you succeed, you've got to make a dice roll. And if you fail, someone else is going to try it. Brian, I think that's the end of this first episode, is hey, you don't need to know what you're doing. You know, watch something, watch Critical Role, listen to a D&D podcast, learn the very basics, and then just try it. And through trying it, you'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, still, I don't think I'm by no means the best or even a good gamer. Like, when it comes to the mechanics, I forget where things are on the sheet all the time. And Mike or Dusty or Chris or somebody else is always, or Nathan's always telling me, "Oh, it's right there, it's right there." I don't take it too seriously. But at the same time, I take it very seriously because I really do love it.
Yeah, well, don't take the character sheet. What you take seriously is what you want to do in the world.
Yes.
Mike didn't know what he needed to roll, but he knew that in the world, he wanted to shoot that horse.
Yes.
And that's all you have to know. If you take that seriously and you ask questions and you're willing to, you know, hey, it's an early game, let's pause and look that up. Or hey, let's just make a call. It's a dexterity check. You know, Mike, roll. Then you're going to have fun. That's the only thing you have to know. What might your character do? What might you do in this situation? You've got to stop these bandits from fleeing. They've just pissed off an entire tavern. You are the only people in the room with weapons. Everyone else are, you know, farmers enjoying a night on the town. How can you intervene? How can you help? What would you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I'm freestyling here, but how about this? We are going to have a Facebook page for RPG Lessons Learned.
I think we should.
And just go to Facebook, look for RPG Lessons Learned. We'll have this posted there. Tell us, for those of you who've played recently, you know, how did you get into it? How did you just pick up and play? What were the barriers for you? How did you get over those early hurdles of playing D&D or Pathfinder, whatever system, BFRPG, whatever you're playing? How did you get into it, and what were some of your early thoughts? And where are you now? We want to build a community around this, and we want to be able to share all of our experiences with you and you with us. So like us on Facebook, and, you know, please interact, because I think that will be important to what we do.
Absolutely.
Also, we don't this week, but we will have a feed on iTunes soon, and also a way for you to subscribe. But right now, just keep in touch with us on Facebook, and I will share this out. I'm very share minded on
very willing to share
on social media. So, and if you listen to some of my other podcasts as well, I'll be sharing this at our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/TF Radio, and on Twitter at TF Radio.
So next week we'll talk about why it's important to have a strategy, not a plan.
Yes.
And for that, we'll be covering our next foray into 4th edition, which was actually the Redbox.
Are we ever going to play 4th edition again?
I would love to. The problem I have with 4th edition, one of the problems I have with 4th edition is that it's impossible for me to roll a character directly out of the book. You have to have that character creator, and it's gone.
Is it completely gone?
It's gone off Wizards, yeah. It was a subscription thing. They developed it in Silverlight for some reason.
Ah. And, well, everything was developed in Silverlight for a while.
Yeah, a brief flash in the pan moment. But including that character builder, and it's gone. Without that character builder, it's hard to build a character in 4th. I would love just for old time's sake.
Yeah, sounds great. We should figure that out sometime.
Yeah.
Or at least play 5th edition and try to squeeze out some 4th edition rules into it.
Yeah, try to make the fighter in 5th more like the fighter in 4th.
Yeah, I would be fine. That would be fine. I oftentimes will try to say, oh, well, is he bloodied? Am I bloodied?
Yeah.
And there are all these rules that no longer apply in 5th edition or whatever we're playing. And,
yeah, are we flanking?
Yeah, are we flanking? I miss that stuff, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you guys were our group has always been very tactical. And I keep hearing people say that, hey, 4th edition was not a great role-playing game, but it was the best tactical miniatures game on the market at the time. And you know what? Damn right. I really think it was. I think if we adapted 4th edition to be on a hex grid instead of squares, that'd be fun. Just do a skirmish in 4th edition. Anyway.
Yeah.
Way off topic. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to our recap of our first game. We're going to keep recapping our games and talking about what we learned as our RPG careers started and progressed over the last 7 years.
And occasionally we will fill in some time with some of our actual games that we recorded. We've recorded several of them, not all of them, maybe half.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, maybe not half, but quite a few. We're still doing it.
Yeah, those will definitely be bonus episodes. There are better podcasts out there to hear actual plays, but if you
that's not true.
Well,
I don't listen to any of these shows.
But there's no better podcast for listening to an actual play and then getting our analysis after the fact. No other podcast has the so-called DVD commentary.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're here for.
All right. Good episode. Good week. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Dusty.
People call them postmortems, evaluations, appraisals, reviews, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned, and we're sharing ours with you.